Welcome to the Balance Love Life and Business Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you one of the top speakers in the world, Miss Alicia White. Alicia, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. The sun was setting behind the mountains. There was a cool breeze whispering through the lodgepole pines, and the cold river was flowing freely. When suddenly I saw 100 bison fast approaching. They were stampeding straight for me, and I couldn't move. I was mesmerized. This story begins when Rick, my amazing husband, and I visited Yellowstone National Park for our fifth season. This happened in 2011. And during that spring, we were following a pack of 8 wolves that you could only see by binoculars. It's very rare to find wolves in Yellowstone, especially up close. They're there, but you sometimes have to use your binoculars. We had parked in a nice large parking lot. Just 50 feet from us was the river flowing, and the sun was setting, when suddenly the wolves stirred up a large herd of bison, about 100 of them, who were grazing in the pastures, about half a mile away from where we were standing. But fear and the will to survive kicked in, and the bison ran away from the predators. And in doing so, they were fast approaching the river that separated us from them. We knew that they were relying on their instincts to run away from evil, to run away from the bullies of the wild. It was survival. And here we were, just 50 feet away from the edge of the river that separated us from 100 bison. I was a bit concerned because they were heading for us, because that half mile, it kept getting closer and closer and closer. I remember turning to Rick and asking, "Do you think they'll cross the river?" He said, "Surely not." Well, when you know it, just then the first of the herd clambered down a steep hill and splashed into the river. All the other bison followed, and soon the river was full of bison swimming and racing to the other side, towards us, away from evil. My mind raced. Should I jump into our car? How close do I let them get to us before seeking shelter, before I run away from a situation? Would I get run over by a bison stampede? I looked to Rick for clues, my amazing husband, but he was clicking away with his camera capturing the event. I actually had stopped photographing. As the first of the bison pulled their heavy, drenched bodies out of the river, I began backing away from my camera, and I was seeking shelter in my car. I thought, I can always replace a camera, but I can't replace me. And I felt just like those bison when they saw the wolves, I was retreating. But I was stuck. I was mesmerized. The bison were heading straight for us. And then suddenly, as if they saw an invisible fence, the racing mad herd made a hard left just 25 feet in front of us. I couldn't move. I was mesmerized. Their pounding hooves shook the earth. Dirt was kicked up high into the air, and the dust filled my nose. Their loud grunts and bellows filled my ears. It was so guttural, so raw. And I soon realized that this was an encounter that maybe Native Americans had seen so many years ago. I finally snapped out of my daze, realizing I was safe, even though they were just 25 feet from us, rushing about. I began taking photos. Big males with large horns rammed their way through. Soaked baby calves clung to their mothers. Juvenile bison kicked up their heels. Wow. Rick and I drove back to our campsite with hearts full. We were excited. We were joyful. And we talked about the event as a gift handed to us. We realized not many people would witness a stampede like this, certainly not directly in front of you, aiming straight for you, in fact. Imagine having an experience like that in your life. One where you walk away with a heart full of joy and a mind at peace. There are times in our lives when we must find that place or do an activity to achieve this feeling. And that's why I encourage you to find the reset button for your soul. Yellowstone is the reset button for my soul. Now, I didn't know it was my reset button until Rick took me to Yellowstone for my very first time. That was in 2006. In fact, in the spring of 2006, Rick and I experienced probably the most tumultuous time of our 10-year marriage. Rick decided to run for city council. Not because he's a politician, far from it, but he saw that the direction our city was headed would leave the city in a financial mess. The infrastructure was lacking. Our tax base was non-existent. And with the help of friends, Rick decided to run for city council. So you can imagine that the establishment wasn't happy about this. The current city council members had been on city council for years, and no one had ever challenged them before. Their old thoughts and good old boy ways were becoming passé. They weren't benefiting the city. And much to our dismay, they used tactics that I thought only happened in big city politics. We're a small city. We only had 40,000 people at the time. But you wouldn't believe how Rick and I were bullied, slandered, and vilified. So much so that each time our integrity was questioned, I wanted to attack back, right then and there. I was ready to show these people that they were liars and hypocrites. But Rick, he's a level-headed guy, and he asked me to be patient. And this caused a lot of stress in our marriage. I'm far from patient. But the thoughts, the harmful ways and tactics kept entering my brain, and I couldn't get rid of them. We were immersed in a venomous situation. I didn't ask for it. Rick certainly didn't ask for it. We knew there would be some fucking up, some backlash when Rick decided to run against the opponent, the incumbent, but nothing like this. And I wanted to set the record straight, and I felt Rick was letting it slide. He wasn't letting it slide. Little did I know that he was allowing our supporters to become our fighters. And boy, did they fight. They lashed out at the injustices for us. We didn't have to do that. They set the record straight time and time again. I'll never forget friends, supporters coming up to us and saying, so-and-so was slandering you at the post office. So-and-so was speaking about you at church. Lies at church. It was deep and it hurt and I couldn't get it out of my head. But with all that, Rick won and he won big. He won 70% of the votes. There were people in that community ready for a change. And I just had to be patient. Unfortunately, the intimidation didn't stop there. I was an active member of the Chamber of Commerce. I was successfully leading a business development program. I was the chairperson for bringing in members of the chamber to help them improve their business. I would ask speakers to come in and share tips on how to build their business. But one day, I was informed that due to political conflict, I needed to step down from my position as chairperson. Now that Rick was an elected official, his wife couldn't serve on the chair. Oh, I was angry. They were hypocrites. How could they say that about me when the incumbent that my husband replaced had served on so many committees as a chair and was even on the board of the chamber for a year as a councilman? How is that not a political conflict? I was incensed. I was enraged. Nothing could stop me from thinking about the injustice. Fortunately, a few weeks later, Rick had planned a vacation for us to visit several national parks. I had not been to these places, and I loved every one of them because each of them were unique. There were deep and pitch black caves at Carlsbad Caverns, the painted desert with formations and colors I'd never seen before. The arches and monuments at the Arches of Moab. But then we enter the Grand Teton National Park, where mountains seemed to reach the heavens and wildflowers bloomed in every color. It was here that I saw for the first time in the wild a grizzly bear, a mother bear with three cubs. Oh, I can't tell you how delightful it was to watch these three little cubs exploring their new surroundings and then play, often biting another, poking another, and then running away while Mama Bear was keeping a watchful eye. I photographed these bears as if it was the last moment I would see in my life. A few days later, we went on to Yellowstone National Park. Oh my gosh. Even more magical to me is Yellowstone. And that's where the eagles soar in the big blue sky and the otters fish and play in the rivers. And bull elk with large antlers bugle out loud, calling for their mate. Where black bears eat berries and care for their cubs. And wolves fill the air with an eerie howl. And where boiling water gurgles up from the depths of the earth and mud percolates and water fountains appear. We were there for only a few days, and as we were leaving, I'll never forget. Tears were stinging my eyes and a lump in my throat. And I cried out to Rick, I have to come back. Yellowstone stole my heart. It was true. I did not want to leave. And it was more than just photographing and experiencing the magic of Yellowstone and seeing animals I had never seen before, not even in the zoo. My heart was full of joy and my mind was filled with peace. All the negative thoughts I had about the election, the liars, the hypocrites, all of those thoughts were gone. Not one single negative thought about the challenges that Rick and I had faced were in my brain. They had all been replaced with joyful and wondrous sights and experiences. Of course, that was temporary. As Rick and I drove back home, the ugly thoughts came back, and of course, that was expected. But this time, I had a different perspective. I didn't have the same high emotion as I did before our vacation. In fact, I was able to analyze the issues with a better frame of mind. And that's when I realized that Yellowstone was the reset button for my soul. Now, because I'm such an analytical thinker, I struggled with the thought that my reset button for my soul is merely a distraction from the problem at hand, right? It doesn't fix it. The problem still exists. However, I found that by allowing my soul reset button to be pressed, allowing my mind to focus on something new and focusing my energy on something else, when I returned to that problem, I had clarity. I was able to better address the problem with logic and leave the emotion behind. And that's really important. So many times we want to solve a problem and we are filled with emotion, when honestly, we really need to take a step back. Rick gave me this gift. He didn't know he was giving me this gift. And on that note about distraction, you know, when you had those thoughts in your mind, Rick shared with me a strategy that I want to share with you, and that is, when you receive an email or a phone message and it emotionally charges you, sit on it for a minimum of 2 hours. In today's world with devices, it's so easy to respond immediately. Most likely, you'll respond with emotion and regret what you had said. So in those cases, sit on it for 2 hours and maybe find a little reset button for your soul. As a matter of fact, I encourage you to find two reset buttons for your soul, a small one and a big one. That way, if you're going through your day and something is frustrating you or annoying you, or you have these negative thoughts that keep worrying you, you can take at least a few minutes to a couple of hours focusing your energy on something else. So, an example of a small reset button for your soul is to take your dog for a walk, or just take yourself, read a good book, watch a sunrise or sunset, create or build something like a birdhouse, sing out loud to a few of your favorite songs, dance. If you can't dance, just skip. Watch the clouds drift by. Get to the garden or plant some new flowers. Rearrange and decorate your living room. Take pictures of your kids or pets. My small reset button for my soul is swimming. Well, that's during the summer, of course. A very close friend decided to end our relationship, and I was blindsided. It came out of nowhere, and to this day, I still don't know what I did wrong. I saw some signs. She and another person were building a friendship, and this other person and I didn't care for each other so much. So I can only imagine what took place. And then wham, I was no longer in a friendship that I cherished. I was heartbroken. So that night, instead of sitting in front of the TV and stewing about this breakup, I decided to take a swim. I love my pool, but I wasn't in the mood, but I forced myself to get in. For 2 hours, I swam and floated around thinking hard about what had happened. Suddenly, I recalled an incident that occurred when I first met this friend. She had done the exact same thing to another woman when she met me. It was at that moment I gained clarity. It was very clear in my mind that this wasn't about me. It was about her. I could stop searching for the answers. I could get a new perspective on this. And a wave of relief came over me, and I was lighter, and my heart was healing almost instantly. While I was only in the water for a couple of hours, I decided to consider the swimming pool to be my small reset button for my soul. Because that's what that activity did. It reset my soul and allowed me to move past the ending of a great friendship. I still think about it from time to time, but I have a new perspective now. And that's why I want you to take part in finding the small reset button for your soul. That, again, that's an activity that can last a few minutes to a couple of hours. Now, the big reset button for your soul. This one involves a full day to several days of an activity. As I said, Yellowstone is the reset button for my soul. I go in to Yellowstone knowing that I'm going to come out feeling fresh, energized, motivated. I'll have a different outlook on the problems that existed before I came in. As a matter of fact, last year in April, I was so overwhelmed with business. I was working many, 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 many hours and nights a week, just trying to catch up. I even hired another designer to help me. And I was to my breaking point. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. Fortunately, we went to Yellowstone a few weeks later. And it was there that I gained clarity what I needed to do to help myself find balance in my business and my life. And I discovered that I should work on my projects in the morning, my client projects about 4 to 5 hours a day. And then after that is family. And that's how I found balance, through one of those reset button moments. So what is your reset button? What will be your big reset button for your soul? Maybe you could take a week of vacation somewhere new. Take a day to visit the museum or art gallery, just by yourself. Learn something new, like playing an instrument, or try out a new cooking recipe. Join a team sport. Organize your closet and donate items to a nonprofit organization. Get out in nature for the day, the beach, the mountains, the river, whatever calls to you. Visit family for a few days. Volunteer for an all-day or multi-day event. Spend an entire day with friends doing something fun. Everyone's reset button is different. You will find an activity that quiets your mind from the negative and harmful thoughts. And when you do, it will fill your soul with peace and happiness. With this strategy, you can take on any challenge and have a life full of joy and delight. So now go and find the reset button for your soul. I have compiled the list into a PDF format, and you can get it at backoftheroomproductions.com/reset button. Again, that's backoftheroomproductions.com/reset button. You can find me on facebook.com/AliciaWhite911. Just search on Facebook for Alicia, A-L-I-C-I-A, White, W-H-I-T-E, and the numbers 911. I think I'm going to go try a reset button for my soul here in a few minutes. I hope you do too.